Here with our very own vet. The vet is in, but actually she's not in. She is at home keeping warm with her dogs in front of the fire, as I can see here on the photograph. Dr. Doreen Winning from the Valley Veterinary Hospital joins us right now here on KFGO. And good cold evening to you.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
The reason I've called, obviously, is because we've got some very, very cold conditions out there, and we wanted to get some tips again, as we usually do this time of year, about our animals and how to take care of them. And first of all, have you ever seen wind chills like this in your existence, as far as the being a veterinarian is concerned?
You know, I think it seems the older I get, the worse it seems. But actually, you know, in any time you have temperatures below freezing, you have the chance for animals to be out there and getting exposed to the elements, getting frostbite.
The first of all, let's talk about taking animals outside. Obviously, they've got to do their thing outside.
Right.
And we all know what the thing is. But I know some animals can maybe even be so shocked by the cold, they don't want to do their thing. They want to go back in a house, right?
Right. And one of the biggest questions clients often have is, how do I know my pet's limits? How do I know how much they can handle? And really, that's a very individual thing from pet to pet. And pet's cold tolerance can vary depending on their age, their hair coat, and their health status. So we know that older arthritic pets may not be able to handle the cold weather as easily as younger animals, younger adults. Older pets are prone to slipping and falling on ice. But then we think about the really young pets, young puppies. This can be a really difficult time of year to potty train a puppy. And puppies have a more difficult time regulating their body temperature than mature adults do. So if you need help determining specific guidelines for your pet, you should contact your veterinarian and they can help you.
I have to tell you a true story. I went over to my sister's. We talked about her last time you were here. She has one dog left still, one little puppy. And it was very cold, and I brought the dog out to do his thing. And there's a certain section of the yard that they have placed where they've, you know, got the snow away, and the dogs do their thing there. Well, I set the dog down, little puppy down. He immediately ran for the steps, like, you know, what are you doing to me?
Yeah.
And at the bottom of the step, he did his thing, and then hopped up to two steps to the front door and said, okay, now you can let me in.
Well, and if you're lucky and they're really smart, they figure that out right away. Some of us aren't so lucky as far as having little ones that figure out the quicker I potty outside, the quicker I get to go in.
What about, is there anything we can help them out with as far as intake of food and water? Does that help at all as far
I think as far as being exposed to the elements, a lot of people ask, can I just keep them indoors? And going outside this time of year, yes, we want to go out. We want to get our exercise because we know that weight gain is an issue in the winter months. So for indoor pets that are mostly indoors, we're going to want to feed them a little bit less during the winter months because they don't get as much exercise. So walks outside need to be limited in extreme cold for most dogs. And so you want to find healthy indoor activities to do. With my dogs, I'll often hide treats around the house, you know, something healthy that they like. You can hide them in different corners around the house, and they can run around and get exercise while they're searching out for treats. You know, obviously playing fetch or toys in the house can help too.
So your dogs, though, don't really do that. They just lay in front of the fire, don't they?
Yes, I sent you a picture of what good dogs get to do in the winter. They can lay in front of the fireplace all day.
Now, do I see two of them there? Where's the other one?
She actually has her own bed, and she wasn't too interested in laying in front of the fire that day. So she runs around.
Oh, that's good. Three dachshunds, by the way. There's
that's
two of
right.
the three in this picture. I should probably post that so people can take a look at it.
Sure.
That's pretty cute. We're coming up at 8:13. This is Dr. Doreen Winning. And by the way, if you have any questions, we'll take a couple of phone calls if you do have a question for Dr. Winning concerning the cold temperatures and your pet. We did have somebody ask me real quick about larger animals, specifically like, and I know you've dealt in them. I know you don't specifically deal with them now, but I know you have, are you familiar with them? But are the larger animals anything to worry about, like your horses, for example? Should they be kept indoors as far as the corral is concerned, a heated corral or whatever?
Right. Most horses or large animals, you want to provide shelter so that they can get out of the wind and elements. A lot of the horses, some owners will put blankets on them, you know, depending on how good their hair coat is. But you also want to make sure that you have water that isn't froze as well. So a heated water tank for them.
So but is that dangerous, though, for a heated water tank? And when you have it out in the snow like that?
You know, you got to do it. And so there's lots of different types of heated tanks or tank heaters. You can buy them at a lot of different livestock facilities. You can purchase tank heaters. And I grew up with them. You know, you just kind of get used to them and taking care of them and making sure that you keep the water tank full so that you don't have a tank heater and an empty water tank.
Okay. Well, we're going to take just a very short break here, and then we'll come back and chat just a few more minutes here with Dr. Doreen Winning from the Valley Veterinary Hospital. And she'll be making her next appearance on this show, by the way, on January the 16th, a Thursday night. And we'll be back in just a couple of moments as Nighttime Live continues here on the Mighty 790 KFGO.
You're as cold as ice.
That's Scotty Sorum doing his thing there. Dr. Doreen Winning, our special guest here tonight on KFGO. We're talking about the cold weather and the care for your pets. Dr. Winning is with, of course, the Valley Veterinary Hospital here in town, right there on Main Avenue in Fargo. And, okay, we're talking about the pets in this very cold weather. I know when I take a pet out, I keep an eye on that baby right away because when I see the pet is done, he's or she is in the house right away. But apparently not all folks do that, do they?
No, a lot of times over the years I've had accidents happen where people let their pet outside when it's cold and they get occupied with something else going on in the house and they forget their dog is outside. So what I often tell people is stay by the door so that you don't forget. You can watch them in case they start going lame outside or have problems getting back to the house, especially if you have an older pet. So that you can watch them and make sure you can help them if they need it.
That just surprises me that, you know, you wouldn't do that with your kid. Why would you do that with your pet as well, you know? You would never forget your child out there for crying out loud.
I know. I know it. It happens.
What are, you know, we know the signs of frostbite for human beings, but what, you know, with all that fur, what are the signs we're looking for when it comes to our pets?
So one thing that you want to do when you suspect frostbite is you want to get your pet into someplace warm and then inspect different areas of the body that are common victims of frostbite. So the tips of the ears, called the pinnas, the very tips of the ears will have problems with frostbite, and the pads of the feet. And initially, these areas kind of turn a white color where the vascular supply to the tissue is compromised, and then they'll start swelling eventually. So if you're seeing these signs in your pet, you want to get your pet to a veterinarian right away because this is a really painful condition. So they'll prescribe pain medications and antibiotics. And they'll also prescribe medications to help with tissue perfusion, meaning to get that blood supply back into those tissues. Because oftentimes it can take days or even weeks to assess how much tissue damage there is.
There's no possibility that it could be that bad that you would have to do some type of amputation, a little snip of the end of the ears?
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So sometimes the tissue damage can be bad. I've seen it on the tips of tails where the very end of the tail in some dogs has gotten compromised and then you have to do a tail amputation. So it does happen.
That's so sad. That's so sad. So mainly, folks, keep an eye on the dogs, and if you see those signs, get into your veterinarian and check and have them check him out just to be he or she out. I think we talked once about the boots for dogs or cats.
Yeah,
is there other protective gear, too, that they can wear besides those?
Right. And some pets are more tolerant than others, and, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've had clients laugh when we talk about putting boots on their dogs, but it's a training issue, and if you work with them, most dogs will become tolerant of boots. And as far as coats, if your dog has a smooth, thin hair coat, you're probably going to want to put some sort of protective layer on it. I have dachshunds, and their tummies are really close to the ground, and so they get lots of snow built up on their tummy. And so that's one area that I want to protect as well. So they'll wear you know, if they're going to be outside for an extended period of time, I'll just put it just a light boot covering on their feet so that I don't have to be so careful with their feet. And then I'll put some sort of protective layer over their body.
And you mentioned, too, the last time that it doesn't necessarily have to be the big fancy boots you find at a pet store. If they're, you know, if somebody just knitted some baby booties, that might be even work just as well.
Yeah, all it has to be is a light a fabric to protect the foot from getting snow in between the pads of the feet, because that oftentimes is such a delicate area where they can succumb to cold. Okay. In between the pads of their feet.
Now, you've met Molly, Scott's dog. What do you think about antlers?
I think Molly would look great in antlers. Molly is the star of KFGO. So when I come in there at night, she's always greeted me and practically she shakes my hand.
You know, Scott went on vacation one time and we had her on as a special guest host for a while.
So tell Bob to lay off me and putting the antlers on Molly, all right? Thank
Molly,
you.
Molly is cute no matter what she wears.
I wanted to ask one more question. Because of the bigger dogs, we hear of all the, you know, the snow sledders and stuff, the mushers and those huskies. It's still, I mean, they may take a lot of punishment as far as cold weather is concerned up in the Yukon and stuff, but that doesn't necessarily mean they can be outside for any long period of time in this kind of weather.
No, and those dogs are taken care of too. And a lot of those dogs will wear boots. And they have, first of all, those dogs are acclimated to colder temperatures. So pets that live indoors are much different than pets that are used to being outside. Those Nordic breeds that have that thick hair coat can tolerate longer periods outside. And so if you have an outdoor dog, just provide it with a shelter. A lot of dog houses are insulated. You can purchase insulated dog houses. Make sure you have good bedding in there, whether it be blankets or straw. And if it gets really cold, there's nothing wrong with bringing your dog inside. I know a lot of rural outdoor dogs that come inside during the cold nights in winter.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to have another day or two of this nasty weather before we get temperatures moving back up above the freezing point, or above zero, I should say. And some good tips from Dr. Doreen Winning tonight from the Valley Veterinary Hospital. If they need your help, if they suspect anything, what's the best way to get a hold of you and where are you located at?
You can reach us at Valley Veterinary Hospital at 232-3391 or at 3210 Main Avenue.
Well, before I let you go, I am going to post that picture. Who's right in front of the fireplace there?
That's Dahlia.
Dahlia, okay.
Yep.
And who's on the couch?
Doobie's on the couch.
Doobie. Now, how do you spell that?
D-O-O-B-I-E.
That kind of doobie. Okay, I got you. We'll put that picture up here in just a few moments. I tell you what, Doc, can you hold on just one second? Because I see a phone line ringing.
Sounds good.
So maybe there is a question that I missed. I'm not sure. By the way, while we're waiting for that phone call, just a quick reminder, Browns Valley Public Schools will be 2 hours late tomorrow. That's 2 hours late tomorrow, Browns Valley Public Schools. And that announcement brought to you by your locally owned Stop and Go store, home of the best buns in town. It also brought to you by Essentia Health's walk-in clinic located in the West Acres Shopping Center. Essentia Health here with you. I guess that's a call on a different note here, Doctor. So with that, I'll turn you loose. You have a great night. Stay warm, and we'll get that picture of the animals up there, okay?
Thanks a lot, Bob. Have a great evening.
Happy